You're listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click on the Canada Helps button or go to westhill.net/donate.
One of the things I love about West Hill is the strength and depth of talent and sharing and the opportunity. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Jackie, one of our own, who has taken the challenge of providing us with some words of wisdom on the subject of compassion, I believe. Jackie.
Hi. Before I start, I would like to introduce you to an audio clip. It's about 10 minutes. It's a little bit long, but it's from a man named Alfie Cohn. The presentation is a one-hour presentation, so we're only going to listen to about 10 minutes of it, and it's called A Case Against Competition. I will then speak about that. We'll leave that there. That is on YouTube, and his name is Alfie Cohn. It's actually very, very interesting. I do recommend that you listen to it. I know for many of you, living in a world without competition sounds unnatural. Although I believe it's possible, I know we're a long way from that. Conflict always exists in relationships. How we resolve that conflict is up to us. We can either use compassion or we can use competition. So I'm going to focus my discussion on competition in our personal relationships. And I'm going to start by telling you a story about myself and Jasmine. We used to have this ongoing argument, and honestly, Jasmine and I almost never argue. But I expect her to call me if I come home from work and she's not home, I expect her to call me, and I expect her to know how she's going to get home before she goes anywhere. Jasmine can't always get that straight. And so this happened one day. I was very upset. Again, I'm yelling at her, why can't you get this straight? Why is it so difficult for you to understand you need to do this? I'm right, you're wrong, you should be doing this, you're inconsiderate, you're not thinking about me, what is your problem? Jasmine, on the other hand, has no idea what's going on and can't see why I'm getting so frustrated. And she's getting upset because I'm upset and doesn't understand why I'm being so mean to her. So we go back and forth with this. But I've got to win. I've got to get this through to her. And she's got to get through to me that she's being mean to me. So we're in competition right now to whose idea is going to win. But I wanted to win. After about 10 minutes, Jasmine's crying. I'm frustrated. I walk away. I leave Jasmine in her room crying. I close the door and I said to myself, okay, Jasmine, you win. I'm done. You know, I can't do this arguing anymore. You win. But as I sat in the kitchen thinking about my beautiful, loving daughter up in her room crying, I realized she had not won anything. We were both losers here. No one won. So why did we turn this into a win-lose situation in the first place? How did I allow my upset to be more important to me than my relationship with my daughter? Nothing is more important to me than my kids. So where did I go wrong, I asked myself. How did it get to this point? Well, I think there's two things at play, so I'm going to try and introduce both these ideas, and I've got a bunch of concepts, probably all intermingled, so hopefully you will understand them. So I sat there thinking to myself, why am I so upset? Why am I so upset? How am I going to make this work? Because Jasmine is too important to me, and I need to get over this upset. I realized that my upset had to do with my own personal fear of a time when I was stranded somewhere and couldn't get home. And it terrifies me to think that Jasmine's going to go through that. But I project that onto her. And I make her wrong for not being responsible to make sure that that doesn't happen. And every time she does that, that fear, that pain that I experienced as a child comes back to me. And I relive it. And then I take it out on her. I make her wrong for not taking care of something that I didn't do. But it's not her fear. It's mine. Once I realized that, I could stop making her wrong for what she was doing, and I could show her compassion. I now opened myself up. I've removed that emotion, and I've allowed myself to view what Jasmine was doing from her perspective instead of from mine. But I needed to remove that emotional pain. So the point number one is own your upset. Know why you're upset in the first place. Take it in and recognize where it's coming from. It's often our relationship with our past that causes us to be upset. And the stronger the emotion was in the past, the more upset we'll be in the present. And then stop making others wrong when you experience that upset. And when you do that, you can see things from a different perspective. That allows you compassion. When we're in an argument, the argument becomes a competition. Who's going to win? I'm right. You're wrong. I have something to prove. I have to win something. You're in competition. When you remove that competition, you can open yourself up to compassion and allow yourself to see something from a different perspective. The other thing I realized, and actually only 2 days ago, and I've been thinking about this for months and months, on compassion, is that for Jasmine's entire life, she has gone on play dates. She's never been kicked out of the house and said, come back when it gets dark. She's never had to think about how she's getting home. She was picked up, put in a car, dropped off at somebody's house, and played until somebody went and picked her up and brought her home her entire life. And then she, for a long time, she wasn't going out with her friends at all. And I'm the one that actually kicked her out of the house to say, go, play with your friends, go, hang out. And now all of a sudden, I expect her to know exactly what to do. But she's never had that experience. She's never done that before. Now, I still need to know where she is, and I still need to feel safe about where that she can get there. So we have to work it out together. Jasmine is more considerate now because she knows I feel that fear, and she's more compassionate to me when I make that request. But I don't wait for her to phone me. I just phone her. And I've got to give her that time to get used to that. Okay, I'm kind of changing my whole script, so I'm a little confused. So I'm going to bring in another situation. I get mad at my daughter for not volunteering to help me out when I clean the house. I don't anymore, but I used to. When I stopped making her wrong for it and looked at her with compassion, I realized that the times that I had asked her to help, I used to just shout out commands from everywhere and expect her to automatically know how to sweep the floor or wash the dishes or do whatever, because I hadn't taught her when she was young. I waited till she was older to start helping, and she should know that. She's 12, 13. But it's not intrinsic. It has to be taught. It takes patience. We don't know these things automatically. I think we often forget that small but very crucial fact. We think everyone should know everything we know, and we think everyone should feel everything we feel, and we neglect to recognize that they have not had the same experiences that we had. About half an hour ago, I decided to change my entire script, so I'm going to be winging it from here on in mostly. But here's what I thought of this morning. I love cleaning up, and I feel very peaceful. I feel good, and it's a wonderful experience for me to clean up. I get this sense of feeling good, and I know that it is directly correlated to a moment in time when I was small, when my sister Karen took me by the hand and brought me in the bathroom because I had to now take over the chore of cleaning the bathroom, which used to be her chore. And she gently and patiently and with love taught me how to clean that bathroom. She showed me compassion and love and respect. She knew I wouldn't know how. She did it gently. And and with respect and with compassion. To me, that is compassion. And I get to relive that experience every time I clean, because that emotion stayed with me. That was the one moment in time that stays with me. And I love her for that. I'm going to sort of... Oh, thank you. I didn't do that with Jasmine. And I'm sorry I didn't do that. But it's not too late, and we can still fix that. I'm going to kind of bring in another idea here. And part of the reason that I didn't do that with Jasmine is because we don't take the time anymore. Compassion requires patience, and it requires love, and it requires gentleness. Competition requires selfishness and aggression, mostly. I do believe that in our busy, hectic schedule that we live these days, in our struggle to try and make a living, or better said, make a dying, we don't give ourselves the time to be compassionate. We are too busy. And I really do believe that kids these days solely get FaceTime with their parents when they are playing sports. So the only feel-good moments they get are when they are winning. And this creates an environment of competitive people, because their feel-good moments now are associated with winning. Okay, like I said, I'm redoing this whole thing. What do I want to say? Oh, yeah, right. Thank you, Lori. One of the things that Jasmine has now attached with cleaning up the house is an extremely negative emotion, because now she feels undervalued, and there's no dignity for her there, and she feels like she can't do a good job. So now her experience of cleaning is a very negative one, and she hates it. We just sort of do the same thing with losing. So again, I'll go with own your upset, and again, also own your moments of joy, and where do they come from. I said I like cleaning. I wanted to make this point, although you would never know that right now if you came to my house. And my dog is seriously interfering with my good times these days. It's very hard to keep the house clean with him in there. We don't like having negative emotions, but we don't like having our positive emotions interfered with either. That again comes in competition. Somebody gets in the way, or those geese that interfere with my great golf game. I'm going to let go of a lot of this, so I'm sorry. There's a lot of things I wrote here about competition bashing it, and I'm not going to go through it. I would like to make the point that in the argument with Jasmine, I turned my back on her, and I made it more important to me to be right. And then it became a competition. As soon as I let that go, I was able to create an environment where both of us could win. Compassion creates joy, peace, love. Competition creates selfishness. Competition loves arguments. And I realized that I haven't really taught Jasmine very well how to deal with those. I'm very non-competitive and have not taught her the value of competition throughout her life. Jasmine doesn't like competition at all. And not because she has negative experiences, she just has no positive ones either. She doesn't value it. And so she has a hard time with arguments too, because she doesn't see the point. She's not trying to win. I'm going to just scrap a lot of this. The other thing about competition that I observe is it generates in us or makes us feel like there is lack in the world. There has to be a loser. There's always a winner. There's always a loser. So we always have to fight, and we hoard. We hoard because we don't want to be that one who is the loser. Now, I've worked in the financial district for 12 years, and it's one of the most cutthroat, competitive environments there is. And I have seen some really good people lose their souls and turn into some really nasty, ugly business. And it is the nature of the competitive environment that does that. Competition does not create winners. It creates losers. Compassion creates winners for everyone. I'm going to bring this example in also, I think. I was debating on it, but there's a YouTube video where there's two girls from an opposing team carry a girl around the bases because she hit a home run, but she hurt her ankle and she couldn't do it. The umpires told the girls' teammates they weren't allowed to help her or they would lose the game, so the opposing team walked her around. This was on YouTube. It's considered unbelievable in sports. It was considered unheard of. Those girls performed a selfless, compassionate act, and it is unheard of in competition. It doesn't exist. Compassion and competition cannot occupy the same space. They are opposite values. So how will you fill your personal space? Recognize which one makes you feel good.